Well, the classic Disney movie Peter Pan begins with an interesting scene. Peter Pan's shadow is loose and hiding away in the Darling Children's nursery. And Peter Pan and Tinkerbell are there, and they search for it. They look in toy bins and trunks until finally they open a dresser drawer and the shadow flies out. And Peter Pan ends up flying around the room, chasing down the shadow, wrestling it to the ground until Wendy finally sews it back to him. Over the past several weeks, we've kind of been like Peter Pan ourselves. We've been chasing down and confronting some shadows in us that we need to get hold of and be honest about if we're going to lead in Christ-like, authentic, life-giving waves. We've said that all of us are leaders in some form or another, whether we're parents, whether we're a boss, whether we're a teacher, whether we live in a neighborhood, whether we're simply following Jesus. All of us are leaders in one way or another. And so we confront the shadows so that we don't end up casting them on the people that we lead and creating a shadowy environment, right? So that instead we lead from the light, from places of wholeness, from places of trust in God and God's love. So far we've chased down, we've confronted the shadow of I am what I do or achieve to lead from the light of I am who God says I am. We've chased down, we've confronted the shadow of this life is a battle, I must fight and win, to lead from the light of God provides an abundance and we can live in harmony. Then last week, we chased down, confronted the shadow of it all depends on me in order to lead from the light of abiding in Christ and relying on others. And today, we confront the shadow of trying to eliminate chaos and manage away the mess in order to lead from the light of seeing that creation and growth comes out of chaos. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for your presence in our midst this day. Open our hearts and minds to your word for us, we pray, so that it might take root there, grow us and transform us, that we might live for you and bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Two scripture readings this morning, the first in the very opening pages of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then from the Gospel of Matthew. Listen for God's word. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. And then from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. Just then Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged. It's me, don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have heard of the terms helicopter parent or lawnmower parent? Yes? Okay. So just to remind you, helicopter parenting describes overbearing parents who hover over their kids constantly, monitoring every move on constant alert over their kids, every action and choice, hypervigilant in all activities, all interactions, ready to swoop in at the slightest thing, right? Helicopter parenting goes beyond simply responding to kids' needs or being protective, you know, as it's appropriate or necessary. Lawnmower parenting describes parents who try to mow down every obstacle, challenge, chaotic, or difficult situation for their child to avoid any kind of discomfort or struggle. These lawnmower parents simply cannot bear the thought of their children experiencing any type of discomfort or pain or disappointment. And so as a result, they do everything in their power to try and just prevent it or eliminate it. But parents aren't the only ones who can helicopter or lawnmower. Leaders of any kind, in any context, can become helicopter or lawnmower leaders, casting a shadow that is born out of a fear of the natural chaos and messiness of life. That's the shadow, leading out of a place of deep fear of the messiness and chaos that life brings. And when we leave from this shadow, we become hyper-focused on trying to eliminate or manage away all remnants of chaos from the world. We think we can micromanage or orchestrate or organize it all away. No discomfort, no pain, no mess, no conflict, no challenges, no unknowns. We become helicopter or lawnmower leaders. What happens? We're so worried about risk and chaos or mess or unknown, it makes us myopic, and we focus in so much on our fear and lose sight of context and other things that we should be paying attention to. We forget that if we take away opportunities to take risks or to problem solve or to experience discomfort or challenge, we deprive those we lead from developing confidence and competence and resiliency. We're negatively affecting other people's problem-solving and decision-making skills as well as our own. We're creating this insecure or entrapping environment where those we lead have no idea how to handle obstacles or mess, who can't grow through persevering through challenges, where anytime something doesn't go as planned or is chaotic or messiness happens, everyone just crumbles because no one's ever had the chance to experience disappointment or pain or failure or uncertainty or ambiguity. In families and organizations, in churches, in businesses, in work environments, this shadow is projected as overmanagement, conflict avoidance, rigid structures and rules and procedures that prevent growth and creativity and learning from challenges. We want to manage tightly and create systems or rules that try to keep the chaos out when all we're really doing is keeping the people we lead trapped in. Trying so hard to keep the chaos out when all we're doing is keeping the people we lead trapped in. And as leaders, what happens is that anytime we start to feel like there is messiness or ambiguity or difficulty or discomfort or conflict or unknowns or chaos, we must be doing something wrong because we thought we kept that stuff at bay. Of course, this leads to tremendous personal anxiety and guilt and despair and burnout. We're also forgetting the potential for creativity and growth and resiliency that most often comes out of chaos and mess. As followers of Jesus, we're missing the chance for our faith to be made stronger in the presence of God, who is especially present in the midst of chaos and mess. In the shadow of trying to eliminate chaos and manage away the mess, we lose sight of the God who is there with us. In other words, when we try to micromanage the mess away, we macro miss the chance to be made stronger in the presence of our Savior. We turn to the light and lead from the light as we turn to the God who said, "Let there be light." The very first sentences of the Bible set a pattern that appears over and over again in Scripture. God is present in chaos, and God creates out of chaos. Chaos and mess are often the preconditions for growth and creativity. In the beginning, when God began to create the heavens and the earth, or the sky and the land, the words in Hebrew mean the same thing. The earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea. Other translations say that the earth was wild and waste, and it was dark over the deep abyss. There are a couple of really important context pieces we need to understand about ancient cosmology or how people then talked about the universe. It's really hard to talk about the pre-created state of things, or what we would call nothingness. But the way that the ancient Israelites did was to imagine and describe this state as a world without order, surrounded by chaotic waters. For them, non-existence meant having no purpose and no order. For them, in a time when you could travel in any direction and reach the sea, where the sea was not suitable for human life, where you could drown, there are storms. Chaotic waters, then, were the way that they thought about complete chaos or nothingness. So when Genesis talks about in the beginning there being an earth that was wild and waste, surrounded by dark, chaotic waters, it's talking about pre-creation nothingness. And in that same breath, God is present. God is in the midst of this chaotic nothingness. God's wind, God's breath, God's spirit is hovering over it, all ready to bring life and order in the midst of chaos and uncreation. Let there be light. And there was God's very own presence in the midst of the darkness. And each subsequent day, more life and more beauty and more order out of the chaos. God takes disorder and darkness and creates out of it order and beauty and goodness. So God is present in and creates through chaos and mess. And this pattern, friends, continues throughout Scripture. Out of the chaos of the flood, God creates a new covenant. Out of the chaos of Babel, God calls a family to God's self. Out of the chaos of Egypt, God creates a liberated people to bless the world. Out of the chaos and mess of Israel's constant unfaithfulness, God creates growth and resilience in Israel. Out of the chaos of the cross, God creates new creation through Jesus' resurrection. Out of the chaos of Pentecost, God creates God's church, and so on. God is present in and creates out of chaos. This pattern occurs in nature. There are pine trees that depend on the chaos of a forest fire for seeds to germinate and grow to produce new trees. Chaos to creativity. It's why Isaiah says, when you pass, not if, when you pass through the waters, remember what waters represent, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you and the waves shall not overwhelm you. It's why the psalmist says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We can't go over it, can't go under it, can't go around it. Chaos, messiness is a natural part of life. We will experience them. And God is to be found there. Growth and creativity and new things are to be found there if we're willing to go with God through it instead of futilely trying to eliminate it. Isn't it interesting how Jesus leads his own disciples? Jesus loves them greatly. He called each and every one of them to follow him and be with him. And Jesus doesn't prevent them from experiencing chaos and conflict and messiness and the unknowns of life. He doesn't set up rigid rules and systems and structures in an attempt to eliminate discomfort or disappointment or pain. He's not a helicopter or a lawnmower savior. He's an Emmanuel, God with us in the chaos and mess Savior, leading by empowering and accompanying his disciples through the chaos. That's exactly what he does with Peter in our other gospel lesson this morning. As he stands, Jesus stands in the midst of the chaos waters. The disciples are in a panic because they're in a boat in the middle of a storm. And to add to that chaos, there's a figure walking on the water. They think Jesus is a ghost. Jesus tells them to calm down, that it's him. Peter says, if it is you, Lord, then tell me to come out to you on the water. Notice what Jesus does not do. Jesus does not calm the water first. Jesus does not tell the waves to settle down. Jesus does not eliminate the chaos or the great unknowns. Jesus tells Peter to come to him on the waves, in the chaos, to join him there. Like, I'm the God who created out of chaos and who is present in it, and I want you to know that I am with you, here for you, here, so that your faith can grow. As Peter musters up the courage to step onto the waves, he quickly zooms into the chaos, which of course we know always clouds our ability to see more broadly who it is that is with us. And he starts to sink, and Jesus is right there to grasp him by the hand, to pull him back up, get back into the boat, and then and only then does the wind cease. As I read this story this week, I thought about how this story is a picture of Jesus' leadership throughout his ministry, his leading from the light. The God who is spirit became flesh. The God who is immortal became mortal. The God who is all-powerful became profoundly vulnerable in Jesus. Jesus experienced chaos. Jesus experienced disappointment. Jesus experienced pain. Jesus experienced the messiness inherent in life. Throughout his ministry, his leadership was just like this moment with Peter. The disciples experienced challenge upon challenge. They experienced chaos and storms and conflict at almost every turn following Jesus. Jesus doesn't eliminate it. Jesus doesn't seek to manage it away. No, what he does is he invites them to step out into it because he's going to be there with them, for them, ready to extend a saving hand. And so his disciples experience growth and wisdom and empowerment and resilience and all kinds of new, amazing, creative kingdom things. Leading from the light means recognizing that chaos and messiness and conflict are a part of life, and seeing them as the potential creative soup out of which something new and wonderful comes, rather than something to eliminate. Seeing them as the catalyst for resiliency and growth and wisdom and character for the people we lead. As a father, as a husband, as a son, as a pastor, I've experienced so many different forms of the chaos of life. And yet, if I'm honest, it's always been in the midst of that chaos that I've seen, that I've experienced, that I've witnessed some of the most beautiful and exciting and creative things happen in my family and other families, in this church and in the world. Times of discomfort have been often the times of greatest growth. Leading from the light means recognizing as leaders, we have to be the ones who say, we can't go over it, we can't go under it, we have to go through it. Because we trust that our God will be there with us so that we can be there with and for the people we lead. Leading from the light means not creating rigid systems and rules to appease our personal fears about chaos, all while unwittingly trapping those we lead, but creating a culture that gives space to leverage chaos as a catalyst for creative potential and new possibilities with those we lead. Friends, there is a love that is stronger than our fear of everything spinning out of control. From the start, God was present in the chaos and created from it. And God has been doing it ever since. Where we see chaos and mess, God sees an opportunity for growth, for something new. And God knows right now more than ever, we need leaders, we need us who are steadfast in the midst of chaos and change. And so let's not be helicopter or lawnmower leaders casting shadows. No, maybe we should be boat leaders, letting Jesus take our hand, pull us above the waves just long enough to get a perspective, to bring to those we're called to lead, to bring them on board, to say, let's go through this together. Let's go through this together. and see what new thing emerges as we lead from the light. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.